and my best friends will sit in the living room for 7 hours, all yell out an NFL player and somebody yell out what college he went to. 7 hours, that's all we do. I'm like, Brady Quinn. And somebody's like, yes!
Jeremy White.
Ryan Leaf.
Let's go!
And Joe DiBiase.
Eric Decker.
Let's go!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ryan Mallett. Arkansas. You know the game we play? We had our fantasy draft weekend last weekend. The game we played was we were all sitting around the fire, and someone would say a team, and then you had to go around the circle and name a quarterback from that team until there were no quarterbacks left and no one could do it. And whoever was the last person that could say a quarterback from that team won.
That had played for them?
That had played for that team.
I'll play that game right now.
All right. Well, I should pick a team that I didn't
pick a team
with already.
Or Josh pick a team. Somebody pick a team. Or we could do that college quarterback game. Or just not necessarily quarterback.
What's a good team here? What's a good team here? Tampa.
Kyle Trask.
Good.
Keep the music. Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah. It's stupid, but Baker Mayfield.
Counts, yeah. I mean, this is stupid.
That's fine.
Yeah,
you got to get the easy ones out of the way early. Tom Brady.
Jameis Winston. I like in these games, you like load one in your head.
Yes.
And then you also load later
Winston
one.
Jameis Winston was loaded into my head.
Okay,
so
well,
you got to have a backup because you're going to get sniped. Josh?
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
Brad Johnson.
Steve Young.
Good. Josh Freeman.
Trent Dilfer.
See, he's already got it loaded here. And then I don't have time to load mine because he's already going.
I've got another one ready. I got two.
Byron Leftwich.
Brad Johnson.
I said Brad Johnson.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Jeff Garcia. That's the problem. You're so busy loading your own in your head, you forget to get the next one. You forget to listen.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Wearing those alarm clock Bucks uniforms.
Okay. Who do I want next? The Bucks of all teams, the Bucks.
Isn't there a guy?
Vinny Testaverde.
Was he a Buck?
Yeah.
The Creamsicles, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a guy between Mayfield and Wentz and Brady? No. It was Brady right to Mayfield, I think.
I think that's right.
That was only last year. Am I out?
I'm already out. You did win.
You did, yeah, because you did repeat Brad Johnson.
Now let's name the colleges they all went to. Byron Leftwich.
Marshall.
Correct.
I've seen one clip of him in college ever. It's him getting carried up the field.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That is of Harvard, of course.
That one we know.
Yeah. Mayfield.
Oklahoma.
And
Texas?
Texas Tech.
Tech.
Him and Mahomes, same team. And Cliff Kingsbury still couldn't win more games than he lost.
Baker Mayfield, better college player than Mahomes? He won the Heisman.
Yeah. Yes, I believe he was a better college player than Patrick Mahomes
was. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, hi everybody. Jeremy and Joe, good Wednesday morning. We've got 53 men roster to chat about, some moves to chat about. Plenty more to get to as well. We'll talk with Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Sal updates us at 8. Maybe there's more moves by then. And Ben Fisher of the Sports Business Journal at 9 on private equity in the NFL.
Also kind of a new quarterback to talk about a little bit.
Mike White. See, I was ready to talk about Jameis Winston, who came up in that game. Because I saw Josh Reed, Channel 4, ask, how would Bills Mafia feel about Jameis Winston as the backup quarterback?
Uh-huh.
And my answer to that is, I couldn't think of a better one.
I don't think you can do better than him.
No, you probably can't.
In the league. And that's because the Browns, by the way, they have four quarterbacks on their active roster.
Four quarterbacks.
And Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com said the Browns will field offers for both Winston and Tyler Huntley.
Maybe Tyler Huntley's the better answer here. Maybe.
He'd probably be cheaper, right?
Probably, and I wonder if I want a mobile quarterback for what the Bills are going to do, and Jameis Winston, of course, is not that.
No.
Winston is a little bit of the Josh Allen in him, where it's like, I'm just going to chuck that ball down there and see what happens.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
You know, these guys are guys that throw picks, but it'll take chances. You want somebody to throw the ball? put Jameis Winston in.
Oh, man, he'll throw
He's going to throw everywhere.
On the field. He threw a touchdown to the opposite side of the field last year.
Last year, yeah.
Last year, he maybe had 10 attempts, and like five of them were like, oh, my God, Jameis is playing.
Hang on, there's a former stat of the year that I don't know if you were here for about Jameis Winston and his brief time with the Saints. I got to get this piece of paper off the wall.
Yeah, I was going to say, he only started 10 games over 4 years. For the Saints. So and, of course, the last full year he played was 5,100 yards, 33 touchdowns, and 30 picks.
Where is it? It's got to be. I thought it was up here for stat of the year. It doesn't appear to be. Oh, yeah, okay. Stat of the year for 2021.
Okay.
On September 16, 2021 is when we found this stat. So we're almost coming up on the three-year anniversary of discovering this.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass week one for the Saints that traveled 50 yards in the air. All right.
Okay.
This is week one of 2021.
Okay.
Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes in New Orleans and never had one travel that far.
That's amazing.
How about that?
That is amazing.
9,421 passes. Not once. Jameis Winston, week one.
First game.
Uncorks for 50.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's the best backup you can get.
Yeah.
Wing it.
All right. He is not. Hey, just take care of the football, keep things on track. Like, Winston is going, if someone trades for him, if the Bills were to trade for Jameis Winston and something were to happen to Allen and Winston's got to play a game or two, he is coming in there and he's trying to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, probably.
Right? He's like, oh, I can make all these throws. Isn't he not that bad, probably, also?
I think he's not that bad. He passed for 5,000 yards, especially if you are in the camp of, interceptions are overrated and don't matter that much. I mean, we live that life because everyone says Josh Allen throws too many interceptions. And some fans, you know, latch on to that. And others, I mean, myself included, would say, meh, context. You know, if he throws a 40 yards down the field on an arm punt, it's not the same. It's just flat out not the same as whoever you want to. Daniel Jones throwing a pick six at the two. Right. Those two interceptions are not created equally. So Jameis, I mean, it's not going to happen. Mike White is on the practice squad. This is where I tell you, if Allen got hurt, who would start the game after? Trubisky or Mike White, if they're both healthy? And I might say it's Mike White because my new hypothesis about the league is that your third quarterback, Mike White's going to get more reps than Mitch Trubisky. Is he not? Isn't he going to run scout team kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So
he also... Like, this is not Shane Buechel. This is not, you know, this isn't the fourth string guy that got cut from another team. This was the Dolphins' backup that they had a younger guy that developed over a couple of years that they finally said, all right, Skylar Thompson, like, you're ready to be your number two. But Mike White has done fine, right, in limited action? Among Jets backup quarterbacks, like, we've seen worse than White.
He threw four. Did he throw four touchdowns in a game and got crowned?
I think so.
And then immediately that was over when Matt Milano folded him in half.
Yes, he did do that.
To me, Mike White.
The Bills didn't have a problem with him.
Career highlight is getting broken in half by Matt Milano.
Yeah. I think if I know, the little I know about him is that he's willing to uncork it a little bit. Maybe, you know, in a Winston-esque version of a backup more than Trubisky. He started three games in 2021. That first game, this was the one. The first game he played, 37 of 45 for 405 yards, three touchdowns, and two picks.
Boy.
That was his first career start.
Thank goodness that was not during the Bills' drought when we begged for a 300-yard passer and Mike White walks in and throws for 400.
Right. Yeah, 400. First game. And then he did the Bills game, 24 of 44, 251 yards, and four interceptions. No touchdowns. The next year, first start of that year, 22 of 28, 315 yards and three touchdowns. They had 14 yards per attempt in that one. And then, again, kind of tapered off. So each time he's played, he's had like one incredible start and then a couple of bad games after that.
No.
But, all right.
Newest Bills practice squad member. We'll likely get a lot of the practice squad today. Throughout the morning and afternoon as the Bills fill out their practice squad and teams around the league fill out their practice squad. We know that they want to keep a number of guys. Their roster is complete, in finger quotes. I've got one theory on the roster that you tell me. This might be a little bit romantic about one decision they made. That's on Joe Andreessen.
Mm-hmm.
He made the team.
Yeah, he made the team.
Don't the Bills, in having a conversation about him making the team, isn't the conversation, listen, we can't have this guy make the team for a day. It would look bad. It would be wrong. The community is celebrating. Lancaster High School is celebrating.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would do that with him. And I know it's a cutthroat business, but I'm not always convinced that the Bills are as cutthroaty as they need to be. I'm not saying he was given a spot at all. I'm saying they would have had a little more discussion about, are we sure about this? You know, like, isn't there going to be a Beyond Blue and Red in a week or two where McDermott or somebody's talking to Joe Andreessen saying, like, the real work starts now. Here you go, young man, you made this team. I think he made the team. And in order to get cut and moved on from in a week or a day, some other position would have to come open that's so good that they cut a linebacker, and I just don't think that's going to happen. Their mix of players, how open to shuffling is it? This kind of gets to a point about the receivers, where if you want to trade for Noah Brown, or you want to pick up Noah Brown, mm-hmm. or you want to pick up Isaiah Hodgins, they would have to cut another receiver, and I don't know that they are willing to do it. You might say, well, they could cut from another position. I think they want five receivers, just like they did last year. Mm-hmm. And the other guys
with guys on the practice squad.
Practice squad.
Yeah.
So the position breakdown, the numbers of the positions, I'm sure there's some adaptation in there. I'm sure there's some malleability to it. But one of the thoughts I've got on the roster is, I know he might be the 53rd guy on the roster, but I think they would have had a conversation about it. We don't want this guy to make the roster for 24 hours.
Yeah. Do we also know that he would even be the 53rd man on the roster?
No.
Like, he could be one of their immediate backups.
That's right, and there's probably no such thing as a true 53rd man because position dependent, right? Isn't the punter the 53rd man, but you need that guy? And
sure. Your
backup linebacker is 50th. You need three guys that are specialists, kicker, punter, long snapper.
Right.
And if an injury happens in another position, somebody's got to go. So I don't know who is the bottom five guys on the roster. Baylen Specter, is he ahead of Baylen Specter? Probably not. Is he ahead of, you know, keep going on who is MVS?
Eddie Ilufocio, right?
Yeah, is MVS player number 50?
All right.
He could be.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, they can't really do much more cutting at the receiver position, though, right?
No, like, no, that's right.
That's another thing. Like, where are you deepest? And do they feel like they're deepest at linebacker? Is that a position where, like, hey, if we got to make a spot, let's do it here because all we're deep. I don't know what that position is, though, right now. Is that
right,
on the defensive line?
And there's deep in numbers and deep in talent, and those two things are not the same either. Right? Would they trim a lineman in order to pick up somebody else?
Yeah. Yeah, that could be right.
So anyway, it might just be a little romantic on Joe Andreessen. I think he made the team, and I think a conversation would have been had that isn't had about other players of, we don't want to do this for 24 hours. And if he's on the team, he's on the team.
Yeah. Yep, that makes sense to me.
But I'm ready to be wrong on that. It would just be really disappointing. And, you know, that also might be, okay, I'll draw a comparison here. This might be a little bit like DeMar Hamlin, mm-hmm. where Hamlin had to earn his spot,
mm-hmm.
and he did. And he's still on the team. And for a while there, he was only playing kickoff and only playing special teams,
yeah.
and goes in as a backup. I'm also thinking, if you will let me go this far back, and I know Andreessen is not the same scenario. I'm talking about just special circumstances where a cut is not just a cut. And I think Andreessen making the team means a cut's not just a cut. But again, like I said, it might be a little romantic there. When Kevin Everett was released, like that was you knew his career was going to be over, but when the Bills decide to make that thing, it's mm-hmm. a press conference like, hey, we're making injury settlement, we have to do this,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. It's not the same as just anybody leaving the team. And for Andreessen, that will wear off soon enough, and whatever. If he's on the Bills for 5 years, great. If he is cut in week two, okay. I'm just like, I'm over here nervous about it. I hope that whatever
they don't. Oh, you think they could?
I don't know. I just like the story.
I feel like they. Your theory about you don't do that after 24 hours. Just, I mean, the whole...
That's my theory.
Everyone is celebrating about it. I'm seeing the pictures on social media floating around about him from, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
In the tailgate parking lot wearing a Matt Milano jersey, and 2 years later, he's on the Bills.
Yep.
Like, the story is incredible.
It is incredible, and I guess where it lands for me is I'm allowing myself to think he's on the team. I don't think they would do the thing where he's cut 2 days later. I just don't think they would do it with him.
Yeah.
And that makes it sound like special treatment, and that is what I'm saying on some level, but not that he didn't earn it in any way. He definitely earned it.
Yeah.
It's just a, let's make sure. Are we sure? We're sure. All right. And I heard Sal talking about this yesterday. Like, are there any linebackers out there that got cut loose that they feel like, you know, he'd be the guy to go in instead of Joe Andreessen? I just don't think so. He showed enough. He showed enough, and he's on the team. So there's one of your takeaways on the 53. Good for Joe Andreessen. Great story. Happy about it.
Yeah. It is. You win our receiver bet. That's one of my takeaways. It did end up being no big surprises, right? Everybody you thought two months ago, that guy's probably going to make the team. Those are the guys that made the team.
Yep. MVS is... The story here is probably MVS, because we made a receiver bet. I bet that they won't... I gave you a list of six receivers, and they would not cut one.
Right.
And they didn't. They fielded five, and the guy that didn't make it was Claypool, who's hurt, is now out for the year.
Right.
But everybody else made it. Was there a true competition for MVS's spot?
See, that's...
Debatable.
That's one thing I thought yesterday was, you know, we're training camp is a whole big thing, right? And the spring, even before that, if you want the OTAs and the mini camp, and then there's the preseason. It's this long, long build up to the start of the year. And that receiver list comes out, and this is necessarily the worst thing in the world, a bad thing. But I did think, like, what were you doing? What were you doing with all this? Why was Xavier Johnson and KJ Hamler and Brian Thompson and Lawrence Keys and Tyrell Shavers, like, what were they really doing? What were they really fighting for? Was there anything ever to fight for? Because Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to my eyes at least, didn't do much of anything other than be Marquez Valdes-Scantling to make the roster. But there he is. He's on the roster.
He's on the roster.
He's even injured and he's on the roster. Sounds like he'll be back, but I don't know. Like, what? Right? Was there a real competition at receiver? I don't know. Like, it depends too, because part of the equation is: do you think you can get Tyrell Shavers back on the practice squad? You can elevate him and play him from there, and then you get to keep six guys instead of keeping five guys that you like. So there's a different equation to it. But if it was a true competition, I don't know. Did MVS win a true competition, or did he win it by default by being who he is?
I think he won it by default, being who he is, being a veteran, and being someone that is good at whatever, playing with MVP quarterbacks. I mean, by good at, I mean getting close to. He's done it, right? He played with Mahomes. They signed MVS to 3 years and $30 million in Kansas City and then moved on because he caught a big pass against the Bills and won a Super Bowl. But
he was, like, why did they let that go? Because he was starting for them all year long, and they were searching for receivers that could help that offense, and he caught 20 passes.
Yeah.
He was on the field all year long with Patrick Mahomes, on the field running routes, and he had caught 20 balls.
He is best known for being consistent at dropping the football.
Yeah.
He has, I just looked quickly up, like, MVS drops, and there's highlight reels of six passes of 30 yards or more that are just flat drops. Like, if you're mad at Diggs for the playoff drop, like, they've got a receiver now that does that routinely. It is his consistent trait to drop the ball. So, I don't know. We'll see how it works out. He's close with the quarterback. It seems like he got invited over to his house and as part of the process about, like, bringing him along. When they mic'd him up, the two were buddy-buddy. Okay, that's fine. MVS over Shavers. Right. They guaranteed
and he's the fifth receiver on the roster.
That's right.
Like,
that's
how
right.
much is he even going to pull? He might... Well, you know, he played a little bit in week one, although I guess he's one of the injured guys that'll be working his way back. So, yeah, like, what is he going to end up playing at the end of the day anyway? Is he going to play 10 snaps a game?
Yeah, if that.
He's fifth. He's not playing over Matt Collins, right?
Nope.
I don't think he's not playing over Keon Coleman.
Nope.
If he catches seven passes all year and five of them are deep balls, I feel like that's a good result.
Yeah. 803-0550. I'm a 53, which is, you know, we've got it to a degree. Other surprises? I mean, it's a surprise the Bills and Jets traded. That doesn't
happen. Yeah, how about that?
A late pick swap, seventh round pick swap for a kick returner. Who was he the best kick returner on the new format of the year?
In the preseason?
Yeah. He had two decent returns. He forced two missed tackles per return by the average. I saw Ryan Talbot had some of the stats on this. Like 15 forced missed tackles on eight returns. So, which is interesting about the new kickoff rule. Here are the Bills. They see that and they like that. And he did it for the Jets. And the Jets say, sure, you can have him for literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
A late pick swap.
Right.
Interesting.
That might end up being nothing because it's basically if you're higher, then that's the only way you get it.
Right. And if the two teams finish with the same I should look up which picks they swapped because you don't know your draft order in the seventh round.
That's why I wonder. Like, is it an option? It's like, hey, we'll swap. You get the higher of the two. So if you end up higher than us, then we don't end up swapping. I don't know how that ends up working, but yeah, no surprise because I thought going into yesterday that Daquan Hardy was like on this team for sure, that he had done enough in the return battle to win that, and corner wise, like I had some of the numbers yesterday that he was targeted 10 times in the preseason and only gave up two receptions for like 10 yards, and had been playing on the outside, which he didn't do a lot of in college. So corner he looked good, it seemed, and return wise it seemed like he did well enough to win the job, and just nope. This new guy in the building that wasn't in before.
Maybe you got halfway through the headline, Bills trade for Brandon and got excited. Brandon Cotterington,
yep.
Defensive back and kick returner. Yeah, the highlights are for kick return. It's possible they picked him up because of his defensive back skills. Maybe. Like, you know, if you get good numbers there and they want more depth at that position, their corners are good though. So I don't know, like the shocks. There's no big, big, big shocks. The biggest ones would be Shavers and Daquan Hardy, probably. Just those two.
Yep.
And after that, you know.
After that, the story is the Joe Andreessen. If you told me 2 months ago that he has a shot at making the roster, I would have said no, just no chance.
Not just 2 months ago. If you told me during the first preseason game,
yeah,
where it was as he hit the field against the Bears, the tone around it was a little bit of like, wow, really nice for a kid like this to get a chance to, you know,
yeah,
to wear this team's uniform. Like it was not quite charity, but the tone of it had that feel.
Right.
And then two games later, he's on the team.
He's on the team. It really is insane.
He showed a lot.
That he's on the team. He wasn't even under contract when they showed up to rookie minicamp.
Right.
He wasn't even under contract.
So cool for him. Awesome for him. And he was a ton of fun to watch in that Steeler game. And, you know, maybe he's pressed into duty on special teams. I saw, forget who mentioned this, might have been Chris Trapasso, might have been you, I don't know, that the Niners kept six linebackers. And the thought is the new special teams format is leading teams to lean more linebacker. The new kickoff return. You might see more linebackers employed because that's the speed and size and tackle type you want. Is you want guys that are fast, but guys that are also strong and big. So linebackers are the place to land on the new kick format. So, you know, I don't know if he helps there or what he does, but hey, good for him. Really, really good for him.
How about UB out here being like a Bills defense factory, by the way? They have three players from UB on their defense.
They have a number of players that are in the league and made starting rosters as well, not just the Bills.
Yeah.
I saw the tweet yesterday from John Fuller. Let me pull it up here. So Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Jarrett Patterson still in the league.
Yep.
He's with the Chargers. I may have placed a waiver claim on him. Got him in the league because, you know, the Chargers backfield after J.K. Dobbins. I mean, Gus Edwards is their starter.
None of them are really that solid, I don't think.
So Jarrett Patterson made that team.
Yeah.
Malcolm Kuntz with the Raiders.
Okay.
The three Bills. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, Joe Andreessen. Not a surprise Jamarcus Ingram made this team. I thought he'd been great at camp.
Right, yep.
Coyote Awosika at Lions camp and KJ Osborne with the Patriots.
Okay.
So those are your UB players to make 53-man roster. So good for UB.
Yeah. And they open, tomorrow. They open tomorrow. 34 games in college football tomorrow, by the way.
Let's go.
Division I. Those are a lot of the Leipold recruits, I'm betting, right?
Yeah.
Lance Leipold. Okay.
That's a good question. I mean, depending on...
I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing.
Transfer portaled out.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our phone number on, you know, the roster, if you like it. And where the Bills stand going into the season. We are 8 days away from the NFL season opener. That'll be a week from tomorrow. Josh Allen ranked the most overrated quarterback by the players. I saw that,
yep,
that tweet hit the internet today. He was also ranked the fourth best and also ranked the biggest trash talker.
Yes, that was added to that.
That's good stuff. So, you know, we've got plenty to get to. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550.
There's some receiver options maybe out there too. Just saying.
I'm just gonna get triggered about, like, whoa.
There's like two guys that are interesting. A third guy that some people think
I found this quarter on the ground. If I take this quarter to the casino, that might become $20 million.
It has happened.
It has happened.
Someone's had that happen. You pick up a quarter off the ground, you go to the slot machine, you pull it, bam, winner.
Not you, because you don't pick up quarters off the ground.
That's right. I wouldn't do that. I've never had that happen. If there was a Venmo on the ground, I would pick it up, but not a quarter.
Wes Welker. I'm looking at the 30 best undrafted free agent players of all time. I've got Wes Welker, at receiver for this conversation.
Wasn't Antonio Brown undrafted?
I was going to say Antonio Brown.
There you go. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You can get one of those once in a while.
Famously, everything went perfectly for him.
He's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Rod Smith.
Okay, there you go.
Broncos tight end. He was good.
I'm just saying that Noah Brown guy in Houston, I think he might be pretty good.
I don't dislike Noah Brown. I'm here to tell you Terrace Marshall Jr. is not a good idea.
No?
No.
Second round pick of a couple years ago?
Nope.
The thing I saw about Terrace Marshall quickly on this was that try not to let it annoy me, but sometimes it'll annoy me when, hey, Terrace Marshall got cut, and here's Tom Pelissero tweeting about how Terrace Marshall
got cut. Such a good camp.
Like, the former second round pick, man, he had a good camp. Like, really? Yeah. The second round pick of 2 years ago. Yeah, he must have had a great camp if he's out here getting cut.
He lost his spot to Jalen Coker.
Because we all know that the second round picks always have a tough time making these final rosters.
If he had been cut earlier, he'd have been on the Bills. Chase Claypool, KJ Osborne, Terrace Marshall, he would have been here.
Yeah.
In camp.
They love to add former second round picks.
I think it's a good gamble to do that. Didn't pay off in this particular year. All those second round pedigree didn't pay off this year. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Coming up on the show today, we've got some Sabres stuff on the Jumbotron that's out there. That's pretty cool. And there's one better that bet big against the Bills. Did you see this?
I did see this, yeah.
It's pretty wild to think about.
It's wild.
How much this person bet and how much they're hoping to win on the Bills losing every road game. What a bet.
Yeah, it's a crazy bet.
It might be dead in week two. So we'll get to that as well. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.